Joining us now, as I talked to you earlier in the show today, Art Shamsky. And Art is a former major league player with the Cincinnati Reds and, of course, the New York Mets. And this is the 50th anniversary of the amazing Mets. 100-1 shot to win the pennant. And then not only won the National League pennant, but won the World Series over the Orioles in 69. Art has written a terrific book, After the Miracle. And it's the lasting brotherhood of the 69 Mets. And, Art, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Oh, Marty, it's always great to be with you.
Yeah, the book is wonderful. Art, how did it come about? And we'll talk a little bit about your baseball in a minute, but I know you've written a couple other books. It's an undertaking to take on a book like this.
Well, it's taken a couple years. My first book was called The Magnificent Seasons. It was really about 1969 back here in New York when the Jets won the Super Bowl, we won the World Series, and the Knicks won the NBA championship. And it obviously was a long time ago, but all three teams hadn't won before, and it was an incredible year for all of us. And this time, I really wanted to do something different for the 50th anniversary. There's been so many books written about that 1969 Met team. I can't even offhand really know how many, but I know there's been a lot. And I just didn't want to do a book about, you know, the game to game, what happened during the season. I really wanted to make it a sentimental kind of a look back on 50 years and how important that team was to New York City and the country, and really talk about the friendships that were developed over those years and during that season. And of course, we've now lost about 10 members of that team, and a couple guys are not well, and it's been a tough road for that situation. But I wanted to do something different, and I met with a friend of mine, Eric Sherman, who co-wrote the book with me, who was a terrific writer, and we talked about it, and how can we go about doing this. And the first thing we wanted to do was try to hook up with Tom Seaver, who at that time, a couple years ago, was starting to have some health issues, and we wanted to take a trip out to California to see him, and the logistics of it became really difficult. We went out with three other players, including Bud Harrelson, who announced that he had early stages of Alzheimer's, and Tom Seaver and him had been roommates and were close, and I took out Jerry Kuzman and Ron Swoboda. And we planned on making this trip out to California, but putting it together logistically was very difficult. And also, when I talked to Tom about doing it, he said, yeah, great, but, you know, my memory's not terrific. You got to deal with my wife, Nancy. And so I was on the phone with her a number of times, and she said, listen, you guys can get out here, but Tom has good days and he has bad days. So you might get out here, he might not be feeling well, and it might be a wasted trip. So that was the difficulties we had, and we just rolled the dice, and it turned out it all worked out. Even the day we got out there, it was late in the afternoon, and she said, I don't think it's a good idea to come today. So we went out morning of this Saturday in May, and we spent the day, and it was a wonderful experience for us to sit down with him and reminisce and talk about things. And I think it was actually therapeutic for both him and Bud Harrelson to get together and talk about things. And you knew Tom was not feeling great at the time. His memory wasn't terrific. You know, he had Lyme disease for over 20 years. He's had it for over 20 years, and I think that really affected his memory. And his witness was what happened a week or so ago when they made the announcement that he had early stages of dementia and was not going to be traveling. But we knew then he was not 100%. But it all fell into place, and it's been 2 years to put it together, and it actually comes out this coming Tuesday. But a wonderful time for me to reminisce with my teammates and talk about that great year. And you know, it was just a wonderful experience to be out there with him. And you know, who knows, we'll all be together again. I don't think he's going to be traveling anymore. And he actually told us that he was happy doing what he was doing. He was he's in the wine business, and he's got this beautiful area out there that he's got some acres of wine grapes. And so I think for us it was bittersweet in the sense that it was wonderful to get together, but who knows what the future holds.
Yeah, beautiful. Art Shamsky with us talking about Tom Seaver. The book is After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets, and you can see why that subtitle is part of it. But Art, I want to tell you, the book is easy to read. It really is enjoyable. This is one of those books you can just pick up anywhere in the story, and you get an anecdote. The baseball life comes to the screen quickly for me, comes right off the pages. I really enjoy the book, and as I mentioned to you earlier, The 69 Mets, it was a team that came out of nowhere to the rest of the world. But to you guys, you had Gil Hodges, the manager. This was not a shock for you guys to realize, hey, we can win. We've got the pitching, the pennant race with the Cubs for the National League East. It was a magical year. Put that year into perspective from the baseball sense.
Well, we knew we had a good team. We had great young pitching with Seaver and Kuzman, Nolan Ryan, Gary Gentry, Tug McGraw. I mean, we had great pitching and terrific defense up the middle. And you know, we knew we were competitive. If you would have said to us, to me at the beginning of the season that we're going to win the World Series, I would have said, you know, I don't think so, but we hope so. But you always, spring training is always great for optimism. But you know, part of the story about that team, Marty, and the beauty of why that team still resonates with people, particularly back here in this tri-state area, is that, you know, it was a team that's known as the lovable losers. I mean, the first few years of their existence, they were just an awful team. And I can't take the blame for part of that because I came up with the Cincinnati Reds and was traded over. My first year was 1968. But Gil Hodges was really the force to really kind of turn it around for us. Such a demanding manager, strong-willed individual, and he kind of put it in perspective the first day of spring training when he actually said, you will not be the same old Mets that everybody seems to know. And right then we knew that things were not going to be different. It didn't resonate with us the first year because we finished ninth, half game out of last place in 68, but 1969 was an incredible year for all of us. All of our lives changed October 16th in 1969. So many things happened to all of us who were part of that team. But I think the real thing that people have to remember is that it was a team known as the lovable losers, and people remember how bad the Mets were, and then to turn it around, I think that resonates with people. But I think the other thing to remember is that in this country in the late 60s, the war in Vietnam was tearing the country apart. New York City was going under financially, socially, spiritually. I mean, assassinations were tearing up the country. It was a terrible time in our history. And what we did collectively as a team, I think we made people believe there was some light at the end of the tunnel. There was hope for the regular person. And they passed this on to generations from that. Grandparents have passed it on to their children, and their children have passed it on to their children. And still today, I have people coming up to me that remember that team and know about that team, even if they weren't born, because people have talked about what they did to make their parents or their grandparents feel better about their lives. And I think that's really the beauty of that team, because we did resonate with the fans here, came out of nowhere, and we beat a terrific Baltimore Oriole team in the World Series. You know, I don't know if you know, there's a little trivia for you, but I have the distinction of making the last out of the only game we lost in the World Series.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's worth anything, but nobody knew at that point we were going to win the next four. But it was an incredible time for all of us. I mean, I can't begin to tell you all the things that have happened to me personally and the wonderful things that went on after that and still go on now because I was part of that team.
Well, very well said. Beautiful, Art. I have a project, AmericanInnings.org, where I look at U.S. history through the eyes of baseball. And your summary is exactly what American Innings is all about, how baseball mirrors society and how baseball changes things in society, as it did after World War II. So we got to get you on American Innings and create a little vignette about you. That is very well said, and I appreciate that. Art Shamsky with us. The book is After the Miracle, really, and Art, I tell you honestly, I enjoy the book very, very much. Hank McGraw, our dear friend, is up in Napa, the brother of the late Tug McGraw, and I know he's a listener of ours. And I love Tug McGraw stories. Do you have one for us?
Well, Tug was one of the special people on that team. I mean, what a character. I've got a number of stories. I don't know, we have hours to talk about
okay.
it, but I remember one actually that happened in San Francisco. I don't know if you remember back in the late 60s, they experimented with AstroTurf on the infield for a couple weeks, and it was really just to see if it would work, et cetera. And we were out there playing a game one time, and you know, Tug is from that area, as you mentioned, and he pitched in the game, and you know, he was such a character that he would say anything at any time, and after the game was over, I was dressing right next to him in the locker room in the clubhouse, and the writer came up to him and said to him, you know, Tug, you know, pitching the game tonight, you know, what's the real difference between AstroTurf and natural grass? And without meeting a without a beat going by, he said, I don't know, I never smoked AstroTurf. And I mean, you couldn't have written a better script. I mean, he just said it like it was nothing, you know. And another time I was playing in a game with him in spring training, and he was ambidextrous. And this was before they changed this rule where once you got in the batter's box, you have to bat, you know, whatever position you want to be in, right or left. And he was throwing left-handed. The guy was batting right-handed, and so he decided to throw right-handed, and the guy switched over to bat left-handed. This went on for about 2 or 3 minutes. Finally, the pitching coach came out to him and said, Tug, what do you want to be, right-handed or left-handed today? And he said, well, what do you want me to be? And he said, well, you're a left-handed pitcher. Why don't you be left-handed? And that's, I mean, things like that, you know, Tug was just, he was perfect. He was just a guy that you loved on the team. And I met Hank. I know Hank and another character that, there were two peas in a pod, those two guys.
I love it. Very quick story. We'll let Art go. As Art says, we could talk for a while. Art Shamsky, the book is After the Miracle. Hank was one of the first bonus babies signed by the New York Mets. And as part of the deal, he said, you got to take my kid brother, who was in junior high school or high school. He weighed about 130. And the Mets said, sure, we'll sign him, too, when he's older. And he got to be a senior in high school. And Hank said, well, remember, you're going to sign my brother. And they looked at him, and he had grown up. And they said, all right, we'll take him now. And that's how Tug McGraw became a New York Met.
Well, Tug died too young. He was a terrific player, terrific pitcher, and a real character in the locker room, a good friend of mine, and we miss him, but he died way too young. And there's so many characters in the game of baseball. I really miss that locker room experience, Marty. You know, you talk about being on the field and the games and everything, but it's the camaraderie and the friendships that you develop, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to write this book, because it's about friendships. It's about long-lasting memories, and it's about aging. You know, it's about all of us getting older and remembering those great times that we had together, and that's so special about this book, After the Miracle.
No, it's great. Yeah, great job, and I enjoyed it. Art, thanks so much for being on. Don't be a stranger. We love having you on. We haven't talked about the home runs you hit. I was telling George Foster that story this morning about all your home runs and all that stuff, so he's in the ballpark. But we love having you on, and congratulations, and look forward to seeing you again.
Anytime, Marty. Thanks so much.
All right, that is Art Shamsky, the book After the Miracle. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.